It's hard life time. Come on in time. And jump for joy at this swinging club. It's brand new quiz that breaks the quiz. It's got the beat. It's got the hit. It's hard life time.
When Fela, the musical about the life and work of Afrobeat pioneer Fela Kuti, first opened off-Broadway for a 2.5-week run in 2008, its producers weren't sure that it would be commercially viable in the competitive world of New York theater. But it got rave reviews, and last November, it was transferred to Broadway at the Eugene O'Neill Theater, where it is still going strong. And I'm very pleased to welcome back to our show today the show's writer, director, and choreographer, Bill T. Jones. Also here is Sartan Gauja, who stars as Fela. Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Bill, in addition to writer, director, and choreographer, you're also credited as the conceiver of the show. Why did you want to create a musical around the life and music of Fela Kuti?
Well, in short, because I was asked.
Oh.
initially, Steve Hindell, who is, I'd have to say, was really the co-conceiver. He is a man who fell in love with the music of Fela 10 years ago. He's a very modest man, very great producer. And he went looking for someone who's going to help him get this show launched. And he went to a mutual friend, Bob Levine, who said, I know of a man who's in the dance world, but I think he could do some interesting things. And he invited me to start the process.
Had you heard Fela's music before?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Back in the 70s, we used to dance to it all the time at the American Dance Asylum. Never in clubs. I was never a club child. I was upstate New York in a collective, modern dance collective. And we used to improvise to Fela all the time.
Sorry, you grew up in Sierra Leone.
No. Actually, that's where my family is from.
Oh.
Yeah, I grew up in Atlanta.
Oh, you grew up in Atlanta. So yeah. Were you aware of Fela's work?
Yeah, I was.
Because of world music or because of the African connection?
Because of the African connection, I suppose. I mean, my father was a DJ in the 80s in Atlanta. He was spinning for a lot of African parties. And so no matter who he was spinning for, Nigerians, Ethiopians, I mean, he was always playing Fela Kuti. So that's how I first came across him.
Well, you see, I assume that you came from Africa because the accent is so perfect.
Yeah, well,
we've worked on that.
Yeah. There was a lot of work, really.
Is it just as hard as doing a British accent or a German accent? Doing a Nigerian accent?
No, because I grew up around so many West Africans, you know what I mean? And my father had a lot of Nigerian friends growing up, and I did actually as well. But, I mean, I did live in Europe for almost 10 years as well, so... You know, when you're living in the culture, these things sometimes they rub off.
And Sar is very very modest here because he has really studied the man on every possible angle, including how he holds a cigarette in terms of how he holds a microphone. And I think that
how he plays the saxophone,
and I think that the accent and the pattern of speech is a real important aspect of our show.
Well, it's true,
and you've really helped bring that out.
Well, cheers. It's true. There's been a great deal of research. You know, watching the videotapes, listening to interviews of him just talking in the Shrine, you know, even hanging out with his old friends.
The Shrine was the club that he ran in Lagos.
Yes, exactly. You know, he used to have these nights called Yabby Night where it was almost like somewhere between like a newsreel and like a stand-up comedy sort of thing where he's just there, and if you have a question or if you have something to say to Fela, then he's just going to listen and then give it back to you.
Chief priest.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Chief priest.
Now, the Shrine is the setting for this show.
Mm-hmm.
So that it allows you to use it in all sorts of different ways, almost like where he lives, but also where he performs.
No, he didn't live there.
No, but we get the sense that it's an environment that
As I say, the Shrine was equal parts, and maybe not equal parts, bully pulpit for his politics, nightclub, complete with go-go dancers, and Yoruba Shrine. And in Fela's mind, he made it all work on all those levels, and that's what made it such a potent space.
Now, did he grow up before Nigeria achieved independence?
Fela's born, what year was that, 38?
Oh, so then he did, because independence is
mm-hmm.
his
he was a
late
little boy,
50s, early 60s.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he was actually there when Tefewa Balewa mm-hmm. was the first president, and the country went pretty much downhill from there. Do you think that he originally saw himself as somebody who was politicized, or was he a singer who got involved in politics the way Bob Dylan might have here?
Well, there's a lot of stuff that went into the writing of this. One of those things was we made it very clear that Fela had this relationship with his mother, who he loved, and his father, is that he was rebellious. His mother said he was twice born stubborn. He grew up in a politicized environment, but he was quoted to say, politics was my mother's thing. Now, the way at least we tell it is that he came to the U.S. in the late 60s and actually was taken with all things African-American and with the social ferment and fell in love with an African-American woman who literally reiterated, but in a different language, many of the things his mother had been saying.
And he incorporated American music into his style because the style in Nigeria at the time was highlife, which is rather different. It's more almost like reggae.
It's astoundingly complex.
And he sounds more James Brown and funky.
Well, I encourage your readers who are interested to go and read Carlos Moore's This Bitch of a Life or Michael Veal's The Life and Times of an African Icon. Michael Veal is a musicologist.
Yes.
But, you know, it's much more complicated. You realize that there were people who were playing Cuban music, people who were playing funk and jazz. There were a lot of things going on in Africa around the time that he began to put together his style.
Well, of course, as you said, he was Yoruba. And Afro-Cuban music connected to Santeria, which has its basis in Yoruba. In fact, even the names of the gods are similar. Chango, Shango.
Yeah. But the young Fela would not have been tuned to that. He was a self-involved, high-born Nigerian who literally had his world turned upside down when he was politicized in the United States. He says at one point in our show, which I was surprised when we did the research, that the people were not interested in Africa in their traditional culture. Mm-hmm. They were so all about the West. Mm-hmm. So it was a radical thing to go looking back to the tribal religions and so on. And he came from a Christian background.
Yeah.
Sorry, you originated the role of Fela off Broadway, and now you alternate with Kevin Mambo in the title role. You're on stage almost the entire time. Is the show too physically demanding to perform eight times a week?
No, it's possible. But, of course, for me, what's very important, and I think for the producers, is to deliver a certain level of quality in that performance. It's possible to do it maybe 2 or 3 months after doing it eight times a week. Maybe you
but
don't
it is
really
physically use. Demanding, obviously.
Oh, incredibly, incredibly demanding. And what's also very demanding is the preparation before getting onto the stage. I train maybe 3 hours at least before I go on stage to play Fela. So then it becomes not just a 2.5 hour performance. It becomes, 5 hours of very intense work. Which isn't necessarily that practical to do eight times,
You also did you sing before you took on this role?
Yeah.
But you also do some incredible leaps, the kinds of things we expect from dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Had you danced before?
Well, when I was young, I studied. I did. I had classical training, modern, African, hip hop, even some b-boying at a certain time. And for me, I have many different interests, and dance wasn't always the one on the forefront of cultivation at any given point, but it was something that's always been a part of my life.
What kind of preparation do you do before you go on stage?
A lot of vocal training. I do a lot of endurance training, stamina. I run a lot. I do a lot of strength training to help the leaps and to help the climbs. And I do a lot of exercises that help me maintain my focus, regardless of how my body is feeling.
My guests are Asante Ngauja, who stars as Fela in the Broadway hit Fela, with an exclamation point. with us here also is Bill T. Jones, who not only is the director and choreographer, but also the person who conceived this show and wrote
it. Jim Lewis.
Co-wrote it.
Yeah, Jim Lewis and the producer, Steve Hendel.
Now, when you saw Saar for the first time, did you tested a number of people for the role?
Oh, this was one of the most amazing things. I was a choreographer on a wonderful show written by Will Power and directed by Joe Bonney at the New York Theater Workshop. So I was one of those people who came in to read for us that day, and I had just been having these early conversations with Steve, and I was looking at that time for what I thought was going to be four Fela's. This man came in, his physical body suggested Fela, his accent and all, but his freedom in his body. See, I thought he really was a dancer. I mean, as you say, it was like kind of a revelation to me. Ah, this man, and I never have to date seen anyone who read better or delivered the material any better. And our musical director, A.J. Aaron Johnson, has said the same, that his reporting of Fela's music is really rather remarkable. And that was there from the first day.
And he moves like a dancer, so you probably spotted that right away.
And let's be clear. People, when we say dance in this town, dance has an immense history. Are you talking about the New York City Ballet? Are you talking about Martha Graham? Are you talking about Merce Cunningham? Are you talking about Bill T. Jones? Are you talking about West African dance? So dance is a big thing. There's an intelligence in his body, a command of gesture, and a kind of sensuality and fierceness. I heard a lot of African-Americans, but I said that Saar had something that Fela, I feel, has, which is a challenge to African-Americans. African-Americans, I love them, but they're full of milk chocolate. Fela,
you're talking
was,
about yourself, Bill.
Yes, I am. Well, maybe I'm more like Fela, because I'm not an easy person. But Fela, I said, was full of coffee beans and razor blades. And when you read for this man, I've got to find that bite and charm in whoever can play this role.
When you first started conceiving of it, were you thinking as a choreographer? Because dance is a major part of the show.
No, not really. No, I was thinking of how we would, in fact, stage each one of his songs. What does a song like Zombie say about a psychic space, about a level of gesture? And Fela, if you look at his videotapes, they're very odd. For instance, a song like Teacher, he actually uses theatrical flourishes. He has his women actually looking at books, things that we use in the show. He does this kind of like agitprop theater in a very, it's very charming, but it's very, very crude, actually. So you have to think in that way.
And you went. I'm sure you drew from your own company.
No, not really.
So the dancers are all new for the show?
Yes, there was one dancer. Well, my associate artistic director had been in the company, but she actually had to choose between staying in the company or becoming my associate on this, and she did. And there was one other dancer for a while, Shayla V. Jenkins, who decided to leave Fela after one of the workshops and stay with the company. So no, there has been a real division between what I consider my dance company and Fela.
Are you looking for new members? Because one of the bits in the show is where you, Saar, as Fela, teach the audience how to do the clock.
Yeah, we're always recruiting.
you spot anybody in the audience who really does it well?
Well, I've spotted people that really blow me away with their commitment to the movement, you know, particularly when I see very, very old people, you know, and they come in and they sit down very gingerly, you know, watching the show. And when it comes time for the clock, you know, sometimes they're the first ones up and they push hard, you know. It's really inspiring, you know.
The music for the show is provided by a Brooklyn-based collective called Antibalas.
Oh, they're wonderful. Yes.
Were they playing Fela's music before they began performing
they
the show?
They are considered the leaders of the Fela Kuti revival. And they've been doing it now for over 10 years, I believe.
Yeah.
And there are now many tribute bands of Afrobeat, but I think they are really trailblazers in that regard. Very serious about the discography and the style. Aaron Johnson is very exacting about it.
Yes.
Do you think Fela became a political activist? Well, you say his mother was one.
Oh, she was.
And she paid a price for it. I don't want to reveal what happened to
her. His mother was given the Lenin Prize in the early 70s.
So he grew up kind of a Marxist.
And she was the first woman who went to Africa, who went to China, I believe, from African woman.
Yeah.
And she knew Chairman Mao. Mm-hmm. So we're talking way left, way in political, yes.
And he ran for president at one point. Was he a serious contender?
He was theatrical.
Yeah.
He was very theatrical.
I mean, was he taken seriously, or was it more like Well, now kind of seeing thing that some of the comedian does sometimes.
Yeah, well, now seeing, no intention, Mr. Obama, I think, highly, but seeing some of the clowns who we have actually elected to high political office, I think that it wasn't so much political, not so much theater as I am making it out to be. Yeah. Now, he would have needed some serious, I don't think he could have smoked blunts as much, and I think he would have needed around him some real thinkers, but he had the people's heart.
He also had been arrested and jailed how many times?
Yeah, at least 200, if not more.
And he had 27 wives?
Yeah, well, he married 27 at the same time. He'd been, I guess if you count his first wife, Remy Taylor, then it would have been 28, but...
She probably doesn't like being put in that continuum because he married her in the when he was a much younger man.
Yeah, before he became the Fela Kuti that we know and see on the poster.
Is it true? Is that most something of her, that's most allowed? Of his children are with her, correct?
Yeah, it's true.
Four out of the or four,
three, I believe.
Three out of the five.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Is that something that's allowed in Yoruba to have a lot of wives?
Yeah.
Fela did what he wanted to do, of course.
Yeah. I mean, but polygamy is it's normal, you know. Yeah, all over that region, really, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, why do you think he angered the government as much as he did? After all, he is an entertainer. Entertainers can have followings, but in the end,
he
really pose that much of a threat?
Yes, he did. And that's one reason why I say this is a show worth doing for our time, because we do have a somewhat dismissive attitude around entertainers who take politics seriously. He was a protest singer with a difference because he really paid the highest price. He had most bones in his body broken, and they didn't mess around there. We're not like talking handcuff you for photo opportunities. Mm-hmm. You are thrown in there with the worst criminals. So, no, and he had learned to speak the language of the market people. Mm-hmm. He says in our show at one point, it isn't any longer just a 12 women at a market talking to a soldier, but now we've organized countrywide and West African-wide protests, including some of the soldiers themselves. This gets very, very dangerous for a regime that's built on intimidation and power.
You don't go into the circumstances of his death, but...
No, we don't go into them. No.
He died of AIDS?
Yes. And I think this is not because in any ways we're embarrassed about it, but it seems to me almost beside the point. My point in doing the show was talking about the power of a firebrand activist who is using music as the weapon. People would like to frame Fela's life as being a kind of a victim of a disease that came from his profligate lifestyle. Maybe true, but let's talk about the deal. Who out there in the audience right now is willing to pay that price, stay in their country? They could be a rich, rich musician, but they really want to do something to change things. This is what our show is about. It's not about how he had his comeuppance because he had too much sex or the wrong kind of sex.
He could have lived here.
Or in London or in Paris.
Because he already had quite a bit of success around the world. The show's been running since November. Is this an open run?
Yes, it is.
And I'm assuming there are tours as well. But, Sar, you want to stay with it to the end, or do you have other ideas?
Wow, the end is a very long time. You know, I mean, who knows how far it goes. But one thing is for sure, I mean, I'm always going to be a part of this show in one way or the other. You know, how it evolves over time and how long time is, that remains to be seen.
It's at the Eugene O'Neill Theater, which is a Broadway house. What is that, West 48th Street?
49th Street.
And my great thanks to Bill T. Jones and to Saw and Galja for talking about Fela with us today.
Cheers. Pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.